This month saw the opening of two different Beckett performances in London. Endgame, starring Alan Cumming and Daniel Radcliffe, is running at the Old Vic Theatre, and a triple performance of Crap's Last Tape, Ajo and The Old Tune, starring among others Niall Buggy and Lisa Dwan, is at German Street, the German Street Theatre. And joining me now from London is Maeve Kennedy, who's been to see both productions. Is there some kind of feeling around Beckett at the moment in London? I'm wondering, Maeve, is there an end of days feel of things? Because that's the Beckett yeah, tone, isn't it?
I think it comes in waves, all right. It's very striking how Beckett always finds his level whenever any production is done. And there is a kind of post-apocalyptic feeling about now. Actually, there's a very odd feeling in Westminster where I'm sitting because all the protesters have gone, all the flags have gone. It's dead quiet. It feels as if there's nothing happening, which is a very eerie feeling, yeah. I have to say. Yeah,
the end game happened there a while back, I suppose.
Yeah, indeed it did.
Well, let's talk about the Beckett end game that you went to see. Just remind us of the Alan Cumming and Daniel Radcliffe.
If you cross the river now to the Old Vic, you would see the oddest sight. You would see a crowd of teenage girls apparently mad for Samuel Beckett, or just possibly queuing up mad for Daniel Radcliffe, because it probably drives him crazy. But he is forever adored as Harry Potter, and he is now back on the London stage as it has to be said, the straight man, the secondary part in Endgame, and he's very good.
Just remind us of that dynamic between he's playing Clav, Daniel Radcliffe, and Alan Cumming is playing Ham.
Yeah, now they're both cast much younger, and indeed they play much younger than in most productions. Cumming is playing the blind, crippled head of this terrifying household, confined to a chair in which he's wheeled around the stage by Radcliffe. He's absolutely mesmerising. He's deeply sinister. He's wildly funny. He's terribly camp. And he's very, very charming in an appalling, serpentine way. Radcliffe is absolutely the straight man as Clove, but he's very good. I say this at the risk of being torn apart by wild Potterites, but Radcliffe doesn't have the greatest voice on the English stage or film. It's quite an unmodulated, rather toneless voice, but it suits this very well. He has one of the most sinister lines in a deeply sinister play when Ham asks, "What's happening?" And Clove replies, "Something is taking its course." And he says this in a very deadpan way, and it really does fall quite firmly to the ground.
Yeah, and I presume that's picking up on political events, in Britain in recent times.
Something is taking its course is absolutely the feeling, and the doors have closed so you can't see what's happening.
And is the rest of the production, does it play into that kind of very contemporary reference, given those type of contemporary references, given that we are talking about two very young actors in the parts?
Well, it plays for laughs. I mean, Cummings can't move unless Radcliffe shoves him around the stage. Daniel is, he's quite surprising in this. I mean, he's the only person who can move on quite a large, almost empty play. The other two characters are confined to their dustbins.
That's
down
Gian Harrocks and Carl Johnson.
Both
as
brilliant in tiny roles.
Nag and Nell.
Heartbreaking. Yeah. Gian Harrocks is absolutely unrecognisable as Nell. She's fantastic. And they're the only little flicker of life and hope, really, on the stage. There's something very tender about them. There's almost a kind of flicker of sexiness between them in this drab, cold, grey world. But Radcliffe is the only one who can move on the stage, and Richard Jones gives him the job of animating this huge, almost empty space.
Richard Jones directs.
He's really good. The first scene has him alone on the stage, completely speechless, no lines, but he has a really unexpected kind of Chaplin-esque physical comedy, which is very impressive. He's already in the little tiny first play, which it really needn't detain us very much. Rough for theatre too. It's not even certain that Beckett ever finished it himself. But he has a fantastic standing jump onto a high window ledge, which brought a little gasp of surprise.
Yeah.
In this, he's definitely up for the award for Best Supporting Ladders. He apparently did a course in circus skills, and he has to clatter up and down this quite tall aluminium ladder. He's absolutely hilarious. It's really funny, but it's really skillful as well.
It sounds then as if I don't know if Endgame would always be a ball of laughs, but they're playing it for that kind of physical comedy side of it. Does the darkness get lost in the midst of all of that?
No, I don't think it does. I think actually it makes it darker, because I noticed people around me who are obviously possibly Harry Potter fans, dare one say it, possibly less familiar with Beckett, and they're laughing in a slightly nervous way, as if Beckett is so big, so grand, so fierce, so terrifying that it's disrespectful to laugh. And it's not, because Beckett can be wildly funny, and I think that's one of the very fine things this production brings out. But when you laugh, you then feel very bad about it, because the end of the world is nigh in this. I kept thinking, there are scenes in which the Clove character has to climb his high ladder, and he looks out the window into this, obviously you can't see it, but this totally deserted, abandoned world. And I kept thinking of those scenes we're getting now, of the deserted streets in China.
Right.
And it sends a little shiver down the spine. You think terrible things are at large in the world.
Well, I guess
I saw it coming.
Yeah, the Daniel Radcliffe may be attracting that younger audience there, but you'll have to work hard to get tickets, because I think it's sold out. And even the, despite the fact it's running to March the 20th, you probably maybe queue for returns in amongst.
Massive queue for returns,
and
they have a
Potter
few tickets
fans
on sale every day.
Right.
So it's worth trying for it.
All right.
Good show.
Good show for Endgame. Let's move on to the triple performance then. Crap's Last Tape, Ajo and The Old Tune, which are at German Street Theatre. In fact, we spoke to Niall Buggy about this production. He's involved in two of the pieces. A small theatre.
It's wonderful.
And these are small pieces. I presume the theatre really matches what's required
it's
here.
It's a very tiny little theatre. It's only a 70-seater, and I believe it used to be the changing rooms for an Italian restaurant at one stage. Mm. It's underground. It's pitch dark. You get into it by one narrow staircase, and it suits Beckett very well. I mean, you're practically sitting in the laps of the actors, so they better be good, and they really are. I mean, Crap's Last Tape is the most famous of these pieces. Crap is played by James Hayes. He's absolutely wonderful. Again, he's a more virile, less wrecked portrayal of the character than others I've seen.
And this is Crap at the age, I can't remember what age he is in the current moment, but he's listening back to tapes he made on his 40th birthday.
He made himself decades earlier. Yeah. And he's looking back on a terrible life. He's a horrible character, really. But there's one wonderful scene. Technically, it's very good. Beautifully designed, beautifully set. I mean, there's almost nothing in the set, but they're spot on. He has an old-fashioned reel-to-reel tape recorder. Might have to explain to some of the younger people in the audience what this was and how it works. And at one point, he wraps his very long hands around it, and it's as if he's folding them around a human body. It's an incredibly moving moment.
Okay.
Fabulous, really fabulous.
So that's one part of the three-part bill here. The other's been Ajo, which is originally for television.
Yeah. Now, that's the only bit of the setting. By the way, I should say that the director is the fabulous Trevor Nunn.
Of course,
yeah. Big Beckett fan. And the idea of Nunn working so hard with this beautiful cast in this tiny space gives it a sort of gem-like quality. Mm. There's something very special about it. There's very small audiences, obviously. Indeed, Edna O'Brien was literally sitting two seats away from me with tears in her eyes at the performance I went to. Buggy is fabulous.
He says nothing. He sits there and listens to a disembodied voice.
Nothing. He listens to the voice of Lisa Dwan, the Irish actor and critic, indeed. And it's a monologue by her. So he has to sit there reacting to what is Beckett gives to you, the voice in his head. And it's the voice reminding him of a pretty wasted life. He's paranoid. He's tragic. But it's one long reaction shot with a huge projection of his own face onto the black wall behind him. So you're seeing him twice. He's just astonishing. He's heartbreaking. Mm. He sheds real tears, which is, of course, a famous theatre trick. Actors of various different ways, from onions to pinching themselves hard. Buggy, you get tears in your own eyes watching him.
Yeah, well, I believe his technique here is just to listen to what's been said and to let that affect him.
Yeah, the monologue from Lisa Dwan is one of the standout performances of both shows. She's just extraordinary. There's a section in it where she's speaking of a woman lying in despair on the edge of the waves on a dark beach, and Dwan somehow gets into her voice, the sound of a voice.
Right.
From a head half buried in wet pebbles and water coming together. It's It's really chilling.
Well, that's a couple of good experiences. Let's finish up with the old tune again. Niall Buggy is present here, and David Threlfall. Two owl fellas sitting down having a good reminisce about their youths.
I kept thinking you could hear them really anywhere in Dublin. You could hear them on any park bench in Dublin. It's actually a translation of a little squib of a French piece, but it's an adaptation. It's very Beckett. Yeah. It's not specifically set anywhere, but it feels very Dublin. They're gossiping, they're chattering. They've both come on This Is Beckett. There are dead babies, there are dead women, there are terrible mistakes in life. But they're also remembering the good times. They're remembering the streetscape of their youth. They're remembering the lovely girls of their youth, the ones they got and the ones that got away. And
so is this the kind of the light affectionate. Light relief at the end of the other two pieces? The
it's just people go out smiling.
Right.
People go out smiling. I think you have to go out smiling when you go out and cut your throat from a good Beckett production.
But you've had clearly a very good experience. Again, the German Street Theatre, that is sold out. But Niall Buggy, speaking to us last week, did say this will have a further life. There is a hope.
It has to have a further life. I mean, it's only got a couple more shows. It's a beautiful production. The other is bigger, showier, more show-offy. This is a real chamber piece. Of the two productions, I thought this was the one. It's beautiful.
And you'll be able to say when it goes on to Broadway or in the West End, I saw it in German Street.
That was the place to see it. I should say David Threlfall is the third actor, and he's absolutely fabulous.
Great. Maeve Kennedy there speaking to us about Endgame and at the Old Vic and the Beckett Triple Bill in German Street Theatre.